Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Say amen. When God decides to help a man, part two. Isaiah 68, there is a certain story there. I want you to hear it again. Isaiah 38, the book of Isaiah, 38, the verse 1 says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Say amen. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now. Say, remember now. Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Say amen. Then came the word of the Lord unto Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thou sayest the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I thank God for God, because he's a prayer answering God. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 more years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Say amen. Now, if you know the prophet Isaiah, if you read his prophetic, or you go through his prophetic book, when he gives you a prophecy, that's it. When he gives you a prophecy, it's like giving you a check. Take it to the bank. The money is there. You cash it. So when he came to Hezekiah, and he said, put your house in order, you will die and not live. That's it. So, he greeted, said, this, thou sayest the Lord, you are lying here, but you are not going to recover. You are dying. So, if I were you, call your children, divide your properties. Good afternoon, have a happy death. See you later somewhere. And he left. Hezekiah could have done two things. Number one, he would have accepted the prophetic word, put his house in order and die. Or plead his case before God, why he cannot die. Say amen. And the case he made, he said, look, I'm not going to die. But the case he made before God is the fact that I have walked before God. I have served you. Say amen. In other words, I am a child. I have done your will. I am in your perfect will. I serve you. And therefore, I refuse to die. Are you there or not there? Now, Hezekiah didn't pray things like, have you seen my beautiful house? Have you seen my beautiful children? Have you seen whatever? He didn't use his personal whatever to plead the case. His case, the premise of his prayer was what he has done for God, for which he cannot die. And God heard the prayer. And he said, Azar, return to Hezekiah and say the death sentence is canceled. I've added 15 more years. And the Assyrians who are coming to attack Israel, I will defend the city. Say amen. So you ask yourself, if you are facing something deadly or something very, very unfortunate, what will be your leverage to negotiate before God for which God can spare your life? What will you stand on to plead your case? So there must be something you are doing for God for which you will remind God. Because he said, remember now, O Lord. Remember now, O Lord. So, it is not profitable for you to be in the house of God and do nothing for God. Am I talking to somebody? So, those who have this type of, you know, lifestyle, I don't know problems with the body, I come quietly and I go quietly, it is not enough. You must find something you do for God for which you will remind God. Say, I hear you. Are you there? Yeah. Say, remember now, Lord. I have walked before you. I have served you. I have done your will. And when the Lord heard those things, he said, now you have made your argument. Isaiah, I know that we don't change our words, but go back. Based on what Hezekiah has said before me, the case he played before me, go and add 15 more years to his life. If you are here and there is a death sentence, you are carrying a terminal report saying that you have social brain tumor, you have whatever, I have come to declare to you that that report shall be cancelled based on what you do for God. Your works, your love, your commitment, your contribution. Say amen. Look at Acts 9:36. There's a familiar story there. Acts 9:36. The first 36, the Bible says that. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works, alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, saying, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all, everybody say, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. They showed to Peter coats, garments, the things she did while she was alive. Works, service. Say, I hear you, Pastor. They didn't tell Peter about how beautiful Dorcas was, how pretty, how her smiles are infectious, How she has a dimple when she smiles. No, her heels. How when she's walking, she smells so good. She wears these Gucci perfumes. They didn't show all that. They showed her works. In the house of God. Her kindness to mankind. The widows all gathered and showed coats, garments. It means that when the widows heard that she was dead, you see, nobody told them anything. They themselves took their own coats in Jabir, and they all gathered. They all gathered and said, "This woman cannot die. You have come here to make a case. This is the evidence." So it was like, all those of you here, please stand on your feet, please. All those of you, you too, all of you, face this side, face. Now carry something. Carry like a basket, a bag, a phone. Get up. What's wrong with you? Stand. Come. So this is Peter coming. I'm Peter, right? So now I am coming. These are the widows. Sorry, you are not widows. You are all. But with the car said, say amen. So as I am coming, begin showing me the things you are carrying. They were showing Peter. Peter would look at this coat. Look at this one. Look at this as she was walking. Look at the things. See the works. Her works. All the widows have lined up with the works. Showing to Peter. Oh God. Then one of the leaders said, "Have you seen all these widows? Have you seen all these widows? All the things they are carrying is this woman." Then they said to Peter, "Go up there. Don't come down without her." Listen. Go up there. Don't appear here without her. These are her words. So I'm sorry, remember. People like this don't die. Is it there are some of you privately, you are looking after people privately in your own quiet way, you are supporting children, orphans. Those things, never stop doing them. You are who you are today because of those adoya you have been doing privately. For as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Maybe be wow, oh yeah, there are people who have finished secondary university education because of you. Say amen. I don't want to come to the church side because I'm for the church one day. There are lives, millions or hundreds of thousands of people. So many people have finished school because of this church. So many people have finished schools because of this church. So many people have had surgeries, so many things because of this church. So many people, I can show you pictorial video evidence of so many people who today are standing, are happy, are well because of medical prayer intervention. There's no way we are coming down. There's no way you wish the contributor is there. There's no way. You can't go down. Listen to me. You cannot be poor in this house. You cannot suffer bankrupt. You see, when you are somebody among us and you are Kanpe, you are Klikpa, you are Aradite, you are tight, sea crab, POP. What? And that is your nature. Then we can be preaching what we are preaching, but you don't have a stand to make your case with God, for which He must see and give you a miracle. So, what kind kind of a man will God help? The one who has also helped others. Say amen. God will help a man who is also a blesser, who is also a helper, who also think of others. There was a big Red Cross World Conference. Big worldwide Red Cross Conference. And the president of the Red Cross was supposed to show up to deliver a speech. And he couldn't make it to the speech. He couldn't make it to the conference to deliver the keynote address. So he wrote a big speech and gave it to the Salvation Army. What did I say? Red Cross. Salvation Army. Yeah, Salvation Army. Sorry about that. So he wrote a big speech and folded it and sent it to the vice president to read it on his behalf. So the vice president mounted the rostrum and said, well, our president couldn't make it. Our president couldn't make it. So he has given me a speech to read. So everybody, thousands that have gathered from all over the world, Salvation from all over the world. Then they said, don't read the speech until you are standing behind the rostrum, the podium. So he unfolded the big sheet. And on the big sheet, the speech that was on it was others. Others. That is all the speech. Others. So the people were expecting him to continue reading. But there was no more speech to read. Others. In other words, our gathering here should be for others. Let's think of others. Let's help others. Our prosperity is useless until it is linked up to the total liberation of others. You know, when the woman gave me the money, there's one thing she said. She said, Reverend Steve, all of us have been following you and your ministry. The way you spend millions of Ghana cedis helping others. Now it is our turn to help you. Tell somebody, it is now your turn for God to help you. Because you have helped others. Yeah. And this year, through his grace and mercy, God will blow somebody's mind away here. You will have a mind-blowing blessing. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. So the Bible said, Peter went to the upper chamber and saw the body of Dorcas like that. There was no funeral committee. There was no nothing. They refused to bury her. They refuse to have a planning for that company and to start telling people, start preparing your tributes. Say, I hear you, Pastor. And the Bible said, and Peter knelt down. So when Peter knelt down, what was Peter going to tell God? What would be the contents of Peter's prayer? What will Peter say to God for which God must bring back life into the lifeless body of Dorcas? Your guess is as good as mine. Peter was going to tell God that this woman lying down, have you seen the people, all the widows in the cities, the help, the sacrifice, the time, the whatever. This is what she has been doing. You cannot receive the spirit of this woman coming to heaven to come and do what? She is needed on the earth. Please, God, change your mind and bring back life into this woman. And the Lord answered his prayers and life came back to Dorcas. So she can continue helping others. Say amen. Who have you helped? Who is that somebody who will boast and say that if it was not for this woman and the husband? Because there are people who don't have enough to help. There are others who have more than enough to help, but they won't do it. They won't what? Do it. You are the one I'm talking about. Tell somebody, are you the one pastor is talking about? Are you the one? Are you sure you help? Christmas, when you cook jollof, who comes to eat your jollof? You invite your beer friends to come and chill. Well, this is 2020. Friends, the moon, or you cook your jollof with chicken and look for a poor neighborhood and go and give them jollof rice, Coca-Cola, Fanta, and bless poor people, because everybody has poor people in your community. So instead of the usual chicken and beef and jollof rice and jumping and dancing and spending money buying beer to call your friends who don't have no whatever, please, this year 2020, forget about your Christmas party and help others. So that God will look at your works and give you a miracle. Am I talking to somebody here? For the church, by the grace of God. But now you, individually, you must look at somebody. Look at people. Help somebody. Just, you don't have to do plenty. Just one at a time. Take somebody and see the person through university. Sacrifice. Pay. Help. Don't help those who can help you. You have no reward. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. If I come now seeking from help from you, it will be very... Because you know that my level, whatever, and I need help, you help me. But what about somebody who hasn't got at all but is needing help, and you have in your power to do it? That you rather have your money sitting in the bank, breathing and accumulating interest, for which your interest will get a haircut. You prefer to have the haircut than to give it to somebody, than to give it to the church, than to help somebody with it. A lot of us here, your money has had haircut. Now they are moving to pension. Those of us who are in pension today, they want to. Am I talking to somebody? I'm not talking to somebody. So last 2 weeks, we launched the partnership, for Christ, because I was telling Stanley, I said, Stanley, watch the atmosphere very well. All our friends who sent us money, $80,000, £50,000, they've all started their own form of Christ in the real world. Their own outreach. My friend in Port Harcourt, he has started outreach in Port Harcourt. Tunji Akiola, my friend, our friend in in Italy is also doing outreach in Italy. Our friend in our own father, Pastor Matthew, he said, Reverend Steve, I have served you for 8 years. This is my 8th year. Release me so that I'll go and do my own. I said, you are released, sir. Released. That is why our program is in October. Because November is launching his own Christ Compassion to the Rural World. Yeah, Christ Compassion Ministry to the Rural World. Which means that he's £80,000 long. One share. My friend in Ivory Coast, Reverend Mohammed Sanogo, he showed me pictures, videos of amazing work, crusades, day of help, surgeries. My friend for the past 3 years doesn't send me any more money. So, man, fajin tema. Yeah. So we launched the partnership, and I was amazed the way people came forward to come and receive whatever. And where is Eugene? One of my guys, the guys who is computing whatever, he came and said, Reverend Steve, about 500 people have come so far to submit their cards. And he said, if those 500 people alone support with what they pledge, 50 CDs, 100, whatever, we are likely to get about 80,000 Ghana CDs per month. Say amen. Which means that if 1,000 people sign on, that's good money for us. We will not need any foreign inflows. So that is your works. Your 100, your 50, your 250. You should come in. You're 250. I know you don't like microphone, but stand here. Say amen. When you compile all the things, what about, how many people have submitted their cards so far?
About 610 people.
Okay. About 610 people. Okay, good. Now, after the 600 people, you were saying, you were telling Stanley something for which Stanley called. When they are all faithful and they pay the money they have pledged, how much would that be?
About 80,000 Ghana CDs.
About 80,000 currencies a month. Say amen. That's the compilation. Will you do it or you will not do it? Will you give that 50 or you don't give that 50? Or some of you have carried the card. Now your 2-year-old is working mathematics at the back of the card because you have left the card at home. Would you be faithful? Will you give every month? Faithfully. So by October, how many months have we got to October?
5 months.
So by 5 months, if about 1,000 people are giving to the whatever, so the 1,000 people would to be like how much by that time? Do the mathematics. You did mathematics at the university. 400,000. Say amen. 400,000. Is good grounds for us to learn. How much do we spend a year for our outreach, approximately?
About 2.5 million Ghana cedis.
Million Ghana cedis.
Same. Per crusade.
Per crusade. But we thank God for departments like Lifeline, who will take whatever helps, who will take also, and then grains, who will take part of it, and then what again? Altar ministry would be the. So when all these people are faithfully doing their work, then our 500,000 will now go and do the rest of the month. Is it possible or is it not possible? These are your works. Look, they are printed. When I came, they showed me. This is the platinum card. This is your platinum card. There's a name here. What name is it? Judy Mensa. Jude Mensa. Is it Jude Mensa? Jude Mensa. If you are here, your card is ready. Come and pick your platinum card. When you look at the card, remember the commitment you have made to God. Another one here is what? Jessica Samagan. What name is this?
Jessica Samira.
Samira. Jessica Samira. Are you here, Jessica Samira? This is your card. Another one is good. Reverend Mrs. Jane Mensah. This is your card. Your number is there. Platinum. This is your envelope. This is Jane Mensah's envelope. Where is your envelope? This is your envelope. How much is inside this envelope? 500 cedis. Nakupo enshram. There are two altars also. Another name for platinum. So there is platinum. There is what? Gold. These are gold people. Your card is ready. These are gold. Silver.
Cynthia Tando.
Cynthia Tando, you are a silver partner. Is this Cynthia Tando? Are you here? Your card is here. Pay today when you receive your card. Same. All the names are here. When we close, go to the front desk there and pick your card. And be committed monthly to support and help the ministry so that God will look faithfully on your commitment and give you an unprecedented miracle. Is it possible? It's not possible. This year, Senyamia in Shrava and Minyosofo. And the way things are happening to me this year, which I say, the year is going to be very, 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 very good. Now say, Shirano Susugum Kofona say, Shirana Mbawan Chaya. Don't say and God is selecting. God is not selecting. He's watching something. And there are people who, when we were coming to receive the cards, it's like, I don't want to receive all this. Oh, take it. Somebody sent her two girls, to come and pick. What did they pick? Platinum. They picked silver. They picked purple. Two girls, they picked purple. And their mother said, one was 3 years, and one, and they came and picked purple. Then the woman said, I want my children to learn how to give to missions from now. So that when they grow up, what they have done will continue to speak for them. So a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old came forward to come and receive purple. Purple like any amount. Ask the person that, are you a partner? Or you are just sitting in the church being happy? And our 500, Jesus said, 600 and what? See, like, it's too small. It's too small for the size of our church. Everybody is a partner. Everybody is a partner. Including visitors who are here. Including those who are listening to me online. Including those who are going to listen to me later. May God give us 2,000 partners. That is the target. Say amen. And God will look on that and give you a miracle. Receive a miracle right now. I said, receive a miracle right now. The Bible said in the book of Daniel chapter 6, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, Daniel chapter 6. The Bible said, Daniel, who was a good man, preferred above all, who the Bible said it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might have accounts unto them and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. You have an excellent spirit. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was a faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find him against the law of his God. So these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have concerted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree and sign the writing that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which authorize not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Say amen. The scripture I've just read is self-explanatory. The people were jealous of Daniel, went and signed a decree with the king that nobody, they knew that this man is too faithful. They knew that this man doesn't relent. They knew that he doesn't miss prayer meetings. He doesn't miss the things of God. They knew that they can find no fault against him except the law concerning his own God. But the Bible says in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. And prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. Say amen. So they came and caught him red-handed praying with his face facing Jerusalem. And they went and told the king, well, since you love this man, you don't want to hear bad things about him, since he's one of your favorites, here is, you signed a royal statue, and this guy has broken the law. So he must be sent to the lion's den to be eaten. And the Bible said, I love what the Bible said. And look, find that scripture. The king labored from morning till night, looking for a loophole in the agreement, in the royal statute, to find whether he can free Daniel. He could not find any. Then he leveraged only on one thing. Only on one thing. His stand was only on what he said. The God whom you serve continually, your service to God, is the only one left now. Look at it. The king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast. That was what he told Daniel. Where it has reached in there? Are they critical? But the God whom you have served, your service to God is a memorial before God. Your service to God in the protocol department, choir, in the ushering, whatever, lifeline, altar ministry, helps ministry, whatever, all the work you do quietly, silently, and the support you give to the church openly, quietly, silently, those things are what is called service to God. Your works. So the king said, all protocol has failed, but the God whom thou servest continually will deliver you. Am I talking to somebody here? So they took Daniel, they opened the lion's den, threw him into the, and the lions, you don't open their den by heart. If you open their den, it means that good meat is coming. They open the den of the lions, and lions don't play with their food. Have you seen a lion playing with, have you seen a lion chasing an antelope or anything? So they rush to the entrance of the den. But when the lion king, the king of the lions, when he saw Daniel, he called for at once break. They were all running. They said, Munjinawa, this sort of meat, you don't eat it. Munye, be careful. We don't eat such holy meat. Say amen. Why didn't they eat Daniel? Because of Daniel's service, angels were dispatched from heaven into the lion's den. And even though the lion's mouth were open, spiritually they were shut. You see the Bible? May God send angels on your behalf May God see your good works, your service, your commitment, your dedication, and send angels to help you. When God decides to help a man. See, I hear you. Then Daniel said, well, I'm happy you are here. Told them creation stories. Told them everything, how they were born. How they were supposed to live harmony in man, but man fell, and so there was enmity between lions and men and all that. Whatever. Did I tell you my story of South Africa? When they took me to the Lions Park for the first time, I went to the Lions Park and they drove me there, and then we parked. The citizen said, stay in your car always. So I pressed the central lock. Tighten my seatbelt. So we're driving through the Lions Park. I saw lions, white lions, all kinds of big lions with their big head. Then they said, oh, Reverend, I should use the binoculars. I should to so I can see the lions closely. So they gave me the binoculars. They said they should roll the window. I said, don't lower the windows. I can see from here. So now me and me who lie or that. I'm gonna be a windows. I said, no. So I watched, and as I watched, I was watching. Then, I don't know whether fortunately or unfortunately, one of the lions got up and was walking towards our car. I said, driver, move the car now. I have a wife and four children and a congregation to pastor. My tour is over. Sure. Now, if you saw the height, the head of the lion, this is not something you go and sightsee. I came home. I said, my tour is over. Say amen. May God deliver you from dangers. May God deliver your children. Say amen. May God deliver your grandchildren from disaster, problems, because you are a kingdom financier. You are a helper of God's people. You are a helper of mankind. The God whom you serve. Continue. People serve God a little. People are seasonal servants of God. Fair weather Christians, atmosphere, then you serve God. No, you must be constant. You must be loyal. You must be at it. You must have a place to sit in church. If you are not in church, it means that you have trouble or something. But you are a dependable person. May God leverage on your commitment. And when you come to church, you are not doing reverence a service. You don't need to show your face. I have come to church. Oh. You didn't come here to come and mark register. You didn't come because you don't want them to be saying that and we don't see you in church. No. You came to church because you want to serve and worship God. And when God plants you in a house, in a particular church like here or any other place, He planted you there for a reason. It is your strategic position. Don't let anything smoke you out of your strategic position. Don't leave where God positioned you. For you are here for such a time as this for a reason. May that reason be made manifest. May that reason be made apparent. Say amen. And I guarantee you, you will see, myself and Pastor Stanley, we are an epitome of example of what God can use a man to do. Yeah. What God can use a man to do. As of now, we have received 7 international awards. I am the most awarded person among my friends. Yeah. Man, I've taken man of the Ghana for the man of Ghana of the year, man of Africa of the year, and now lifetime achievement award, all on the hand. Global lifetime achievement award. Because of works. Not because I'm a bald-headed person. Not because I wear big coats. But because of works. And I receive it on behalf of my people. For the works we do. Are we going to lose our position? No. Till death do us part on the missions. This woman said, Steve, Reverend Steve, you are thanking me too much. And that, this is just the beginning. When God decides to help a man, brother, God will be watching you, sir, watching you, your ways, how you are enduring. Yesterday, Iris was telling me, he said, why does God do that? He will do something for him. He will stretch you, sir. Yesterday, Iris was telling me yesterday, he said, daddy, God wants to do something. He knows he can do it, but he will watch you, watch your coming, watch your motive, watch your understanding, watch your faith, watch you before, because he wants to make sure he can trust you. And for us in the ability village, we have been stretched. We have set dates. We have made commitment. We have whatever. People will meet me. Reverend, have you started your village? Have you started the village? I said, oh, we are on it. Okay, I'm waiting for you to start. One of my friends said, I want to build 10 houses on your village. Have you started? I said, we are on it. I need some money to do. Okay, wait. When you start the village, I will build 10 houses on it for you. Yeah. A lot of people are waiting when I travel abroad. Have you started a village? So I needed this 1 million to give to the chiefs for him to give us the entrance. I said to the land. And we went to the man. He said, I will not listen to Reverend. Your people have come here. I'm not listening to them. 1 million. Down payment. We have made payments already. He said it's not enough. The acreage you want, I need 1 million. We're looking. Who should we go for? Should we order? And one of my members said, let's do fundraising. I said, no. I don't want to come and do fundraising in my, because I'm targeting to do some our chairs and things. The bank are collecting all the money. I want us to gather money and pay off our chairs. I want us to also cast our floor. The other day I took some money from you. I finished all the metal work. Next week I'll collect money from you to cast the floor. Yeah, the 200,000. You remember the 200,000 I collected? I've done all the works they have done. Now we are left with what? Plumbing and whatever, electrical. Then after we cast the floor. That's the last floor. So I don't want to come in bed. Then I told my wife, I said, honey, God has to move. Nyamana is critical. I need help from God. When I was preaching on this, Reverency, your preaching today has moved. He said, do you know what he said? He said, I didn't want to come to church. He said, something moved me to dress up and come to church. She was the last to enter the church building. It can only be God. May God move people, move situations, move circumstances, move things, just because he wants to help you. When God decides to help a man, he will move anything at all to show you that help. And this year, God has decided to help you. She kept saying, God brought me here today. God brought me here. He said, I've been watching you, I've been seeing you, but today, God spoke to me. I will provide that 1 million for you. And then she told me that when she went, she didn't have any rest. She needed to gather that. She said, I gathered the money. Do you think somebody's 1 million is lying down for that thing? Do you think somebody's, your 1 million, is it lying down for that thing? It is an investment. It is doing something. She gathered all, went to the bank. She didn't give me a cash, because if they gave me a check, she didn't give me a check, because when I take the check, they will begin flagging the water. She went and cashed it herself and brought it in her bag, physical cash. I've never seen 1 million physical cash before. I said, yeah, you're right there. There were bodyguards in the car. It is now your turn for God to surpass you. Say this year, I shall receive a surprise from God. And the three Hebrew children, moving on, I'm closing now. The three Hebrew children refused to bow down to the book and they said, image. They refused to bow. And they brought them. And the word is, is it true that you people refuse to bow down to my God? If you know what is good for you, quickly go and bow down. They said, we will not answer thee in this matter. For the God whom we serve, he will deliver us from that. And even if he doesn't, we'll still not bow. That statement moved God. They heated the furnace 7 times. They heated the furnace 7 times. Say amen. And they pushed, they bound the three Hebrew children, including everything they were wearing. And the men who were taking the three Hebrew children were slain by the vehement heat from the fire. As they were throwing the men in, they themselves, the flame slew them. It's in the Bible. But by the time they entered the fire, God himself had descended into the fire. May God descend into any fire that they are throwing you into. May God descend into any problem you find yourself in. May God descend into any challenge you are finding yourself in. Say amen. And the Bible said something. In verse number 20. In Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3. Verse number 26. The 24 and 25. Look at the 24 and 25 before 26. 24, 25. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselor, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no head, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. May the Son of God descend into your fire that you find yourself in. In the midst of your crisis, financial crisis, marital crisis, children that have been diagnosed with, in the midst of your tears, may God descend into your furnace. Keep the scripture there. Look at the next scripture. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, ye what? Servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. I love this one. Look at this one. And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. May fire have no power, or situation have no power over. People are thinking that what you are going through will kill you. But what you are going through, rather, is a platform for the Lord to lift you up. Say, I hear you. Nor was their head of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed. Nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't smell of fire on their body. That is the God that we serve. Look at the next verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, who has sent his angel. When God decides to help a man, he will send his angel and deliver his servant that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Say amen. Are you clapping or are you not clapping? Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language we speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. No other God. Look at the next verse. Next verse. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Your crisis will bring you promotion. Your crisis will make people believe in God. Your crisis, when it is over, a decree will be passed on your behalf because you trust in God. Give the Lord a mighty hand, somebody. This morning, I submit to you that when God decides to help a man, God will defy every gravity, every order, but anything report to show that this is God. Sometimes something happens and you say that this one here is God. May that be your testimony. Some of you are sitting here, you have various testimonies as to what God has done. And I'm telling you, this year, get ready for mind-blowing testimony. If I be a man of God, whom God has given this series to preach, may you see something you haven't seen before. May God shake you the foundation. May God begin to give you open heavens. And may you see, may you point a finger and say, this can only be God. God bless you. I love you all.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676 7655. +233 2676 7655. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.